Go ahead, turn to the book of Luke, and we're gonna start there. Let's go ahead and pray one more time, real quick, for the word. As we get into the word today. So, Father, we thank you tonight for the word. God, help it get in us and help us to get in it so we can go out to the world and get it in them. Father God, Lord, that we can change people. Not because of us, but in spite of us and because of you. Because, Lord, we need you, like we said earlier, now more than ever before. So help us to be people that believe in the truth that you've given us. God, make this book understandable. Make this book be a part of who we are. And God, make it more than just a book, paper and ink. But Lord, let it be something that speaks life to us. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, turn to Luke 8th chapter on your Bible or your little Bible app or whatever. If you guys got your Bible app, then you can actually be, we're trying to do this new thing with that. Right there, bam, 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 whatever. If you guys want, you guys can share along with the notes and everything. I didn't look at it today, so I'm pretty sure it looks pretty good. Guppy made it. But go and search live events. The Rock Youth will be there, probably one of the first ones up there. Bam, you'll be good to go. You can write notes along lines. See, I don't know if you're like me, but I have to write notes in church. Because otherwise, if I don't write notes in church, I talk in church. Right? I don't know if you guys are like that, but I talk in church, and it's terrible because I'm a pastor, right? But I do that sometimes if I don't write notes. I have to keep myself busy because it's really tempting to, like, do other things, no matter who's preaching. But so I understand if you always get bothered or hassled for, like, talking and stuff, you know, number one, you need to shut up. But number two is you should probably start taking notes because it's easy because you know, That's what works for me. So, but other than that, man, it'll be good. It'll be good. Okay, so tonight, we're in the word Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke, the 8th chapter is a story we kind of alluded to last week of a brother named Jairus. That's right. This is a continuation of us talking about this little word called faith. Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Faith is very important. Matter of fact, faith is one of the most important things a person can have because it will determine the strength, the impact of your walk with God, right? The strength and the oomph of your faith will determine the impact your life will make in this world. It'll determine the depth of your relationship with God, and it'll determine what will be one of the great things to determine whether you actually die enjoying life. You know, because some people, they're Christians, some people, they say they love Jesus, but they're sad, they look like they've been sucking on lemons, they just look angry all the time. And you don't want to be that kind of person. You don't want to be that person. But a person of faith, it kind of works out for them. See, I guess if you were to write notes, because I know you are, today we're talking about missing out. Missing out means that you're living a life of unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Now, the goal of this is not to miss out in life, because nobody likes to miss out. But everybody wants to be all up in a Kool-Aid, right? People want to, they want to be a part of something. So it all happens with faith. Because see, God is attracted to faith. God is attracted to faith. Man, Bible says God is pleased by faith. You know, you like to be around things that make you happy. Faith makes God happy. God, faith is something that God desires to find. So when he finds faith, God is attracted to faith. Now, if you have faith, then you won't miss out. See, because faith sets people free. Faith makes you free. And I know that because the opposite of faith, like we said, is unbelief. Or maybe you're more familiar with this word, fear. Fear traps people. Fear makes people freeze, makes them choke. Fear makes people do or miss things that they would not usually miss. And see, that's what God's trying to get us away from. Faith sets us free to do great things. Fear locks us down to do nothing. Because that's what people do when they're afraid. They freeze up. I know this because I am afraid of spiders. And if I see spiders, I know exactly what I do. Number one, scream like a girl. Number two, freeze up. And then eventually when I finally get a hold of myself, I start flailing like a madman. That's what happens. Fear, so you don't want to live a life full of fear. Now, in this story, you'll see Jesus talking and walking with a man named Jairus. Jairus got a problem. If you don't remember the story, the reason we're going to go over it is because I've said this word faith a lot today. And you've heard the word before, but what the heck does it mean? I mean, how do you know that you're in faith? I mean, some of us didn't even know you could be in faith. You didn't even know you could be out of faith. So what does it mean to be a faithful person, a faith-filled person? What does it mean? What does it look like? What is it going to do for you? And this story of Jairus is a perfect picture of what faith looks like. You see, faith has a look. Faith looks a certain way. And as a matter of fact, when you put faith on, it's a look that you need. You need to look like faith. You need to have, and it's crazy too, because the Bible says, you know, in different areas and stories of it, it even says, I love what it says in one story, it says that the disciples looked at the man and they saw he had faith. Brother looked like he had faith. So what does faith look like? How do you get that look? It's never out of style. Not always on sale, but it's always available right there on a rack. See, faith is, I guess if you were to define what faith is, it is the precursor. It is, no, that's a big word. It is what comes before action. Faith, it's trust. It's having a strong hope. It's a conviction. It's the evidence of a promise you don't yet have in your hand. Kind of like the receipt. It's kind of like the confirmation email you get when you order something off of Amazon. You know in 2 days it'll be there on your doorstep. You know that because you saw the email that says it's leaving Kentucky today on its way to Tennessee, then to Bakersfield, from Bakersfield down to San Bernardino. Now, it's not there yet, but you know it'll be there because Amazon told you so. Does that make sense? Thank you, honey. Okay. So, see, that's what faith is. Now, the problem is, people get it twisted and they don't understand. They think faith is, they say faith and they think something else, because there's a faith that we as Americans can think it is, and we get it messed up. We think faith is magic. It's magical. It's fairy dust. It's wishing. When you wish upon a star, makes no matter who you are. We begin to think, oh, well, as long as I'm positive and believing the right believies, it's some type of magical spelly thing. It's some people think it's faking or pretending. You know what I'm saying? They get burned and they think, oh, God didn't answer this. People of faith is just pretending that things are. No, it's not any of that. It's not ignoring what's going on. It's something bigger and greater. It's not yet there, but you know it's on its way. That's what faith is. I love what Pastor Sue says. If you guys have been in children's ministry, you've maybe heard this before. It's knowing in your knower. Yeah, I don't know what that is either. I just know it's there. Oh, okay, whatever. Let me read this story to you, and let me show you this is what faith looks like. Because it says this, now Jesus returned in Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 40. Matter of fact, if you got over there, go put it up there. It says, Jesus returned and the multitude welcomed him. Why? Because they were waiting for him. Next verse, it says this, boom! Then a man named Jairus, a leader in the local synagogue, that was the church of the day, there was a church, he came and he fell at Jesus' feet. He was pleading with him to come home. Come home with me, Jesus. Why? Next verse says this, because his only daughter, who was 12 years old, was dying. Dang. Now you know this guy has to have been desperate. When you have no other place to go, he's going to a stranger he only heard stories about, falling at his feet. I don't know when the last time he fell at somebody's feet was, but this guy did it. And Jesus went with him, and he was surrounded by the crowds. Continues on. Now all of a sudden, there was a woman. Oh, you skipped the verse here now. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years. Oddly enough, that's when the girl was born. A woman in the crowd, a stranger, suffered for 12 years with a consistent bleeding in her body, and she could find no cure. It says here in 44, it says, now coming up, she came up behind Jesus. She touched the fringe of his robe. This is an interruption. Jesus is on his way to go heal a little girl because she's sick, and all of a sudden, Jesus is interrupted from going to this man's house. Immediately, the bleeding in her body stopped. She was healed, boom, right there, immediately. Jesus says, who touched me? Jesus asked. Everybody denied it. Peter said, Master, look, this whole crowd is pressing up against you. You must be crazy because everybody's touching you. Jesus said, look, no. Somebody deliberately touched me and I felt healing power go out from me. Dana, that's crazy. Verse 47 says this. It says, now when a woman realized she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble, fell on her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and she had been immediately healed. Verse 48, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Boom! Now, catch this part here. Verse 49. Now, while Jesus was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus. Oh, yeah, remember, this is what we were at the beginning of the story. He arrived from Jairus' house, the leader of the synagogue. In case you forgot, this man was faithful. Never did God any wrong. He told him, look, your daughter's dead. There's no use in troubling the teacher now. Stop. Talk about bad news. This lady hadn't got all up in Jairus' business. Maybe things would have changed. Kind of like we were talking last week. Jesus looked like he's too late. This is where faith kicks in. Verse 50. But when Jesus heard the messenger, what had happened, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just have faith and she will be healed. Next verse here. They arrived at the house. Jesus wouldn't let anybody go in except Peter, John, and James, the little girl's father and mother. It says here, verse 52, it says, the house was filled with people weeping and wailing. They were sad. They were crying because the little girl had passed. But he said, stop weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep. All of a sudden, the crowd laughed at him because they knew she had died. Look, Jesus knew she was dead too. Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, child, get up. Get up. And at that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up. Jesus told him to give her something to eat. And her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted they not tell anybody it happened. You see, that's what faith looks like. Faith looks like that. See, Jairus, we know he has faith. Because number one, he got up and he went to Jesus. He said, I have a problem, but I know there's an answer. So I'm going to go to the one that has an answer. His faith moved him to do something. And then all of a sudden, there he gets Jesus and grabs Jesus' hand and says, Jesus, we need to go. My daughter is sick. We need to hurry. And the time is running out. So he gets Jesus. He grabs his hand and and all of a sudden, there's an interruption. And he thinks, oh, gosh, he's looking at his watch thinking, oh, we got to hurry. Man, this is crazy. And all of a sudden, he gets the news. Your daughter is dead. She's dead. Come sign the paperwork. Because she's gone. The coroner's on his way. We're going to wheel her out. Look, we might as well make some plans right now because she's gone. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, have faith. Look, faith got him there. And Jesus said, we're only halfway. Don't quit now. So all of a sudden, his faith came back because what happened? They didn't stop. He took Jesus' hand again. And all of a sudden, he knew he had a peace within him and said, look, okay, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Looks like we're going backwards, but let's just stay the course. The God said it must be so, so I'm going to be okay with what God told me, not what the news is. So all of a sudden, they get to the house and guess what happens? She's gone. The life has left her body. And Jesus says, look, it's not as bad as you think it is. Everybody laughs at him. They all laugh at Jesus. Jesus kicks everybody out. And Jairus doesn't say, look, Jesus, I know we tried, we had a good run, but you know what, just let me and my daughter be. I'll take care of it from here. No, even then, in the midst of looking at this little girl, the one that for the past 12 years he had raised, he says, all right, Jesus, hey, this is your show, so you, whatever you say, you do it. I'm going to step back and let you do you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, he trusted God's word in the face of the facts stating otherwise. And that is what faith looks like. Pastor Richard, are you sure? I am positive. Because faith is what comes before action. It's trust, a strong hope, a conviction. It's the evidence of a promise that you don't yet have in your hand. And Jesus said, I promise you, I will heal this girl. And up until the very end, he did not have it until Jesus finally said, look, little girl, get up. And she did. Pastor Richard, I still don't get it. Let's break it down. Faith looks like something, not like what it doesn't. So faith, look, so here's how you know if you're in faith, because faith makes you, moves you, causes you to do something. Faith is not just like, woo-la-loo-la-loo, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings, oh, and then I'll fly away. Look. Faith is not something that's just internal. Faith is something that can be seen because it moves you to do something. See, Jairus didn't say, just say, oh, God is good, God is great, thank you for what's on my plate. No, that faith picked him up, got him out of his sick daughter's room into the face of Jesus. It moved him. Let me put it this way. You need faith for school, obviously, because hopefully everybody here wants to graduate sometime soon. So let's say your grades are low, they're down, your mom is breathing down your neck, you gotta pick them D's and F's up, son, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, Jesus, help me now, I need my grades to get better. God, I pray that you would change my grade, God, that you'd help me, God, I want to graduate, I don't want to be a super senior's bad enough, and all of a sudden you're praying for your school, right, you're praying for your schoolwork, and what does faith look like if you're praying for your schoolwork? Well, faith does not look like, look, God does not wear a green dress, have little fairy wings, and throw glitter on people. Okay, look, faith is not saying, okay, gosh, I hope I go to school and all of a sudden my F is going to grow a leg and look like an A. Oh, that'd be awesome. Maybe the teacher will come up and say, you know what, look, I've been really hard on your son, I'm going to give you some good neighbor points and boost that grade up. Maybe if I pray hard enough, then all the wrong answers on my final will be right. Maybe Benjamin Franklin really will be the first president. And Herbie Hancock did sign the Declaration of Independence. Maybe that will happen if I pray hard enough. No, that's stupid. That's not faith. That's stupid. You don't got faith, you got stupid. Don't get stupid, get faith. Right? Gumdrops and magic fairy winkles. No, it doesn't work that way. Faith looks like something. All right, God, I got to get my grades up. God, all right, I need you to help. God, help me with my teacher. Oh, you want me to what? You want me to ask teacher if I can make up all the work I missed? You want me to ask my teacher if I can redo the test because I've been studying really hard? Oh, God, you want me to actually do my reading? That's hard. But that's what faith looks like. Faith looks like you don't understand algebra, but then you study it anyway, believing God to help you understand it. See, faith looks like work, son. That's what faith looks like. That's what faith. You want to make the team? Then start jogging and believe God to bless every step. That's what faith looks like. Faith looks like work because God blesses work. Right? Not magic fairy sprinkles. That's not, God's not just, you know, look, Jesus ain't no Santa Claus, okay? It doesn't work that way. God is not here to magically clean up our mess. He's here to come alongside of us, roll up our sleeves, and work us through the process of becoming a person of faith. Jairus got up out of his seat, found and dragged Jesus to his house. And that's how I know he had faith. In Luke 40 through 42, he got up and he found Jesus and said, look, my daughter is sick. I need you to go get her. Faith is what you live by. It's a conviction, a belief so big, it pushes you out the door. Because you really, really believe it. Right? You do what you believe. And that's how you know your faith is strong. Because faith moves you to do something. See, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. Faith, see, Jairus, I know, you know, we can know that he had faith because he had peace about what God was going to do. His friend said, look, it doesn't look good. Her heart stopped. She's gone cold. Jesus says, look, just have faith. Jesus looked and said, look, I know you want to quit. I know you want to freak out. I know you want to cry, Moko's ugly face. I know you want to just get on, you just want to get on all your social media and just start telling us how bad the world is. But he said, but don't do that. Do you trust me? He said, have faith. Jairus, have faith. She is not yet gone. I love what it says in my Bible. It says, she will be made well. Don't be afraid. See, faith doesn't freak out. I know they both start with F, but only one of them is the one you want. Faith doesn't freak out. It has this peace that says, look, I know things are going backwards, but that's all right, because sometimes you got to go backwards to go forwards, and God can use it backwards to send me forwards. See, faith gives you peace by trusting God in what happens next. Look. God is not here to tell you your future. Okay, the Bible is not like, does she like me? Yes or no? Yes. I know what to... Look, God is not a fortune teller, and he's not here to tell you your future. Because that's magic. God don't do magic. Do you believe in magic? No, I don't. I don't believe in magic. I believe in Jesus, okay? God's not here to tell you your future. He's here to say, trust me with the things you don't know. And that's what faith really is. See, if God just told you your future, you wouldn't have to have trust, because you would just know. Because the psychic told me so. Man, give me none of that junk. None of that mess. Look, if you don't know, that's okay. That's what makes trust trust. God says, look, I know you don't know what's around the corner, but I do. So follow me around the corner and watch as I surprise you with the things I have in store for you. Just trust me. See, look. What happens sometimes is we say, God, I'm so mad at my mom. I hate her. I wish I was never born. You're slamming doors. I wish I was never born. Wish I was never born. Wish I was never born. Then you get your little My Little Pony statue and you throw it across the room. I hate you, Twilight Sparkle. You're like tearing up your room. Donkey kicking things. I hate you. Looking for your dog. Stupid dog. Dumb dog. It's terrible. Terrible things people do. But you gotta, don't freak out. Look. When you pray, God, help me with my parents. All right, God, my mom's still yelling at me, so I'm going to do this my way. Pack up a bag, jump out the window. No, man, is that dumb? Don't do that. You got to trust God. Don't say, God, I'll believe you as long as you change everything. Because if not, I'm going to do it my way. That's stupid. That's like trying to boil an egg. If it's not ready in 30 seconds, I'm going to find a different way. No, there's only one way to boil an egg. It's ridiculous. Pastor, that doesn't make sense. I know. That's why I'm going to move on. See, look, trusting God means you put it at Jesus' feet and you leave it there. Don't touch it. But God, don't touch it. But don't touch it. Don't touch it. It doesn't belong to you. But God, she's still yelling at me. Don't touch it. Leave it there. Don't pick it up. It don't belong to you anymore. Trust him. If you say you trust God, then just let him do what he's going to do. The man came, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Jesus said, don't touch it. I'm not done with it yet. Let's move. So what did he do? What did faith look like? He said, all right, let's go. So there they are walking. And then they hear the noises. What's that? They open the door. All these people crying. He's like, she's going to be okay. And they start laughing at him. Get out of this house. Jesus kicks him out. See, faith looks like a person that has hope. This is the difference between a person that believes in Jesus and a person that doesn't. A person that believes in Jesus will have hope. If you find yourself without hope, if you ever find yourself without hope, then you know you have stepped away from Jesus. Because Jesus says, it ain't over until I say it is. But when you step away from Jesus, it's already done. It's done before it was ever done. But a person that's near Jesus, even though she be dead, Jesus said, it ain't over till I'm done. Girl, get up. And you know that girl listened. Where are my chicken nuggets? Jesus said, get her some food now before she starts biting people. See, I love the fact that Jesus didn't ignore it. I love the fact Jesus didn't have to be fake to have faith. You don't got to be fake to have faith. Jesus said, look, I know she's bad, but she's going to be all right. She was dead. They didn't ignore the fact. Jesus said, she's going to be all right. Some people, yeah, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. How you feeling? I feel good. I feel good. Just healed, brother. Healed, Brother James. hacking up a hairball. Like they've been kissing their cat or something like that. So I got one lung left. But I feel good. Don't be lying. You don't got to lie for Jesus. All right? You don't have to, no matter how, you never have to lie for God. All right? If anybody has to lie for God, then you don't know God like you thought you knew him. You just got to be real. I feel terrible. It's okay to, you're a Christian, you can say, if people say, how do you feel? Terrible. I just feel terrible. I look terrible right now. I feel terrible. My face is breaking out. These pants don't fit anymore. And my toe is turned weird. That's all right. Just be honest. Just be honest. You know that toe is weird anyway. It's never going back. Never. You don't gotta lie. But you see, you feel terrible. But that's not, remember, it's not the end of the story. You're just telling the beginning of the story. I feel terrible. But that's all right. Jesus on the throne. He's put me up on there with him. I'm not going to feel terrible forever. This too shall pass. He makes every valley high, every mountain low, and every toe straight. That's what Jesus does. He's working it out. Working it, working it, working it out. That's the way it goes. You don't got to lie when you don't feel good. You just got to be honest. I feel depressed, but you know what? I'm running to God. And he's like, give me the joy I need to get through today. That's the truth. You see, facts change. Truth doesn't. Fact is, you're having a bad day. Truth is, oh, the joy comes in the morning. Fact is, you feel terrible. Oh, but the truth is that God can heal every sickness, every hurt. Truth is, you just got dumped. And it feels bad. But that's all right. Because he came to bind up every broken heart. To put the lonely in families, especially, you know, when she dumped you and you didn't dump her. That's what he does. That's what he does. He takes the broken vessels, the weak, and he makes them strong. And that's the end of the story. See, this little girl was dead, but Jesus said, don't worry. It's not going to always be like that. I'm going to take the dead things and make them alive. I'm going to take the sad and give them joy. I'm going to take the broken and put them back together. And because they were able to say they were broken, they were able to get fixed. When you lie, God has nothing to fix. But when you're honest with God, God, I need some help. What are we going to do? Jairus was real. He said, my daughter is sick. So Jesus, I need you to help her. Faith got him up out of his chair. out of his sickness, his sadness, his depression. His daughter was sick, and it got him in front of Jesus. And then when bad news came, all of a sudden, you know, he had hope. He had hope to say, look, I know it's even getting worse, but I know it's not the end. And then all of a sudden, he had a peace inside of him that God was going to do exactly what he said. And that is what faith looks like. If you don't have it, you can get it, because God gives it for free. So is that what you have? Is that the faith you have? You don't got a lot to kick it. You just got to believe God at what he says. Trust him and let it move you to the place you need to be. If you guys got something I got today, let's give him a praise. Come on.